Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com. Hi, everyone. Now, in the last podcast, you heard me interview a Chinese student at Oxford University here called Vicky. And we talked about how learners of English can use podcasts to learn and sort of some good bits of advice on how to learn English. Now, also on the same day, Vicky interviewed me and she was asking me questions about podcasting and about English language teaching. So I've decided to put the complete interview on the podcast. So this is just if you're interested in listening to me talking about teaching methods and talking about podcasting and learning English, then this is for you. It's just a good sample of natural, authentic conversation between two people. If you're interested in the subject, if you think that learning English and podcasts is an interesting subject, which you probably do, considering you've downloaded this podcast and you're probably learning English, if you think it's an interesting subject, then it will be good for you as well, because it'll just be a stimulating thing to listen to. But basically, you can decide here to just listen to the conversation between me and Vicky and just try and follow what we're saying. Try and work out exactly what we're talking about, okay? I'm not going to provide a transcript for this because it's just too much typing for me to do. I don't have time to transcribe the whole conversation because it's a very long one. If you want to listen to the interview that Vicky did with me, then you can read the previous... You can listen to the previous podcast, and there's a complete transcript for that interview, okay? This interview that Vicky did with me is just, I think, quite an interesting conversation and just good listening practice for you, and should be kind of informative as well. So I'm going to play the conversation to you now. That's it. I hope you like the conversation. I hope you find it interesting and informative. That's it. That's it for this one. Okay, so here is the interview with Vicky and me. All right, cheers. Bye, 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 bye.
Okay, today is August the 5th, 2009, and the interviewer Vicky, the interviewee Luke. Hello, Luke.
Hello, Vicky.
Thank you very much for attending this interview. You're and welcome. That is for my research, actually. That's for my research for my dissertation.
Right.
Master dissertation, and I wrote a letter to you to receive.
Yeah, it's your master's dissertation, right?
Yeah. And here's some of the questions. How many years have you been teaching English?
I've been teaching for about 8 years now.
8 years.
Yeah.
So did you find this interesting? Is it an interesting job
to teach?
You? Yeah, to teach.
Yes, it's very interesting.
Why? Why do you think so? Because some people, I know that some people may find it's we could earn a lot of money from there, or support our lives, or whatever.
It's not the money.
It's not
the money. No, because I'm not earning very much money compared to what I could be earning if I'd been working in a different industry for 8 years. I'd be earning a lot more money. There's a kind of glass ceiling in terms of English language teaching, which means that you get to a certain point and then it's difficult to really break through and earn a large salary, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously I'd like to earn more money, but the reason why I like my job is not because it pays well, because it doesn't pay that well. It pays all right, it's fine, it's enough to live on, and I'm all right. I've got my own flat and all that sort of thing. I'm never going to be rich, though, unless my podcast becomes somehow amazingly successful. But no, it's the thing that I enjoy is meeting people from different places, all these people from different countries, and watching them interact with each other and meeting lots of interesting individuals every 2 weeks. I get a whole... every week, basically, I meet a whole
new
class or a whole new bunch of people, depending on which class I'm teaching.
So are you teaching those classes for examination, like for IELTS?
I do teach exam classes sometimes, but for the most part I teach business English, general English, legal English.
Legal English. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So could you please tell me what do you consider to be the most efficient and effective way of teaching English as a second language?
Wow, that's such a big question.
Yeah, that's really a big question, so take your time to tell me what story
the,
or...
The most efficient and effective way of teaching?
Yeah. So if you two or three words to...
Okay. For me, the most important things are, first of all, it's kind of difficult, but in a basic way, input,
mm-hmm.
right? So input means actually teaching... vocabulary, teaching, you know, expressions, words or groups of words, phrases, or grammar itself, you know, teaching people how to use the present perfect tense or whatever, you know, conditional tenses or whatever. So input, basically things that people don't know and you're teaching it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's input. The other one is practice. You need to just give... the students' opportunities to, for example, speak a lot, or read a lot, or listen a lot, or write a lot, for example. So input, practice, and feedback.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing being feedback, they need to be told whether they're doing it correctly or not. They need to be told whether they are speaking correctly. They need to be given... you know, advice on how to speak better based on the mistakes they're making. They just need to be shown which mistakes they're making and how they can try and correct those mistakes. Mm-hmm. That's a very basic way of looking at it. People have been writing, as you know, people have been writing books and things about this subject mm-hmm. for years and years and years. And, you know, people have academic discussions about it and what's the best way to learn English. In some ways, I think that actually, if you put some people together who are learning English,
mm-hmm.
right, and put them in a situation where they are speaking English and they're in an environment which involves maybe speaking or listening or something, just in an environment that involves communication in English, they're going to learn something, they're going to improve. And whatever goes on in that situation, in the end, will probably lead to them developing some levels of skill in English just by trying to use the language in a way. But that's not enough. There's lots of other things you need to do, like feedback, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So actually there are four skills we all know that for like speaking, listening, reading and writing.
Yeah.
So which one of the four skills do you think is most difficult to teach?
Which one's the most difficult to teach? Mm-hmm. Reading, writing, speaking or listening?
In terms of which one do you think that it's the students will get progress the slowest?
That's, again, a difficult question. Which one is, the more challenging one? Well, I mean, you can see that question from the point of view of the teacher mm-hmm. or from the point of view of the learners. You see, from the teacher's point of view, it might be easier to teach something because... just in terms of the procedure that you go through in a classroom, it's just easier to carry out a procedure, for example, for a speaking lesson than it would be to carry out a procedure for a writing lesson.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to be more complicated to actually manage a writing lesson in class
mm-hmm.
than to manage a speaking lesson in class.
Mm-hmm.
So from that point of view, it's easier to teach. I mean, they all are as difficult as each other.
Uh-huh.
It's from my point of view, because I teach speaking more often,
mm-hmm.
I find that easier to teach.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing an IELTS course, then you have to focus on teaching listening skills, teaching writing skills, and teaching reading skills as well. And they all have their own different challenges and different, different things that are easy. I can't really give you like a really nice simple question for that.
Mm-hmm.
I can just kind of ramble on.
Okay, cool.
If we talk about speaking, you've got it's difficult to explain.
I do think that the speaking is the most easier. Actually, it is easiest to teach from the teacher's point of view because it's the most communicative skill.
Yeah.
Because you have interaction between the teachers and the students.
Yeah.
But speaking actually is the skill which one the students get progressed the slowest. Because probably they input, just as you said, they have some kind of input, but they have to remember that, they have to memorize it and to output in their way.
Mm.
So probably they cannot follow the models. They just don't know how to pronounce that right. They don't know how to use the expressions, how to use the phrase right. That's probably what the students find it most difficult.
Plus there's all sorts of other complications with their confidence. You know, when you're actually in a room full of people, whether you feel comfortable opening your mouth and embarrassing yourself in front of people,
mm-hmm.
or the fact that when you're doing speaking, not only do you have to know the words and know the grammar and know what's right and wrong, but you actually have to do it as well. So it's not about just what you know, but about what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that, let's say then, you could say that reading is easier than speaking, because in a way you just sit there and you just have to understand the text. It's more passive in a way,
mm-hmm.
although many people would say that it's not passive at all, that you interact with the text and all that kind of thing. You see, it's such a difficult thing to explain because there are so many angles from mm-hmm. which to see mm-hmm. these things. But I need to just try and focus my mind so that I'm not talking broadly. Okay, in some respects, teaching speaking is easier because it just is easier to manage a group of people who are doing a speaking task,
mm-hmm.
because you can put them in pairs and they speak to each other in pairs, you listen to them, and you can give them feedback afterwards, right? It's quite straightforward to do a speaking task. You might, for example, give them examples of the language, explain some language to them, like, for example, you do some phrasal verbs with them, and you make sure that they understand those words by going through all the checking procedures and all that sort of thing. And then when it comes to the speaking part, you actually get them to use those phrasal verbs, and it's easier to manage because, like I said, you just get them to talk to each other,
mm-hmm.
and then you can listen to it all in class, in the middle of the room, and give them feedback on it. If you're teaching speaking skills, again, it's a similar thing. You just, for example, speaking skills for the IELTS test, you would give them advice on what they should and shouldn't do,
mm-hmm.
and then you get them to practice speaking about various example questions that they might get in the IELTS
mm-hmm.
Speaking part. You listen to them, then you give them feedback at the end. You might do some work together as the group on
mm-hmm.
how should you approach the speaking part one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the sorts of answers that you can give, and you brainstorm those things on the board and that sort of thing. And then when it actually comes to the speaking part, you get them to interview each other as if one of them was the examiner and one of them wasn't. Yeah, and then maybe one of them is the kind of the listener, and they kind of listen and give each other feedback and at the end and that sort of thing. So for a group of people communicating, it's easier in that sense that you can just actually get people communicating. It's a more natural way. But when you're doing writing, that's more difficult,
mm-hmm.
because writing involves each student individually writing their own work on their own piece of paper. And in order for you to give them feedback, you need to read it as if an examiner would be, you know, in the same way that an examiner reads mm-hmm. a piece of writing. You, as the teacher, really need to read each bit of writing and then give them an assessment of what they're doing wrong and right, not only in terms of the language and the accuracy, but in terms of the organisational structure and the way it flows together. So you can't just do that in class. You get them to write in mm-hmm. class, perhaps, but then you need to do all the marking as homework, so they don't get instant feedback and that kind of thing. Also, with writing, you've got is it the process of writing or is it the product?
Mm-hmm.
How do you actually teach it? Do you teach the process of how you approach the writing of a task, or do you teach the final product of this is what you, this is the thing that you should be writing,
mm-hmm.
rather than this is how you should be writing it. So that's difficult too.
What about listening?
Listening is the same kind of thing. You need mm-hmm. to look at sort of how students can try and pick up the general meaning of a conversation,
mm-hmm.
or how they can try and guess what's going on if they don't really understand. There are various different listening skills that you can teach. It's a little bit difficult teaching listening, reading and writing, I think, because students mentally aren't always prepared
mm-hmm.
for the skills work. They don't necessarily realise that there are different ways of reading a text, or that there are different skills you can apply to listening to something.
Mm-hmm.
They just see it as, well, you listen and you understand it, or you don't. You know, not that it's okay, you don't have to understand everything. In fact, not everybody understands every single word they hear, yeah. even in native, in conversations, but it's a case of trying to use your knowledge and being bold enough to guess words that you don't understand,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. Am I answering your question?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Excellent.
Really?
Yes, yes. Excellent. I think you have already answered the next question.
What is the next question?
What is the most difficult thing when teaching them oral English?
When teaching oral English. Yeah, it's the confidence issue.
It's the confidence issue, right.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Have you ever tried using some kind of modern technology to help you teach and to enhance their learning achievement?
Yeah, I do use technology all the time, but not necessarily in a very clever way.
How do you mean by clever?
I mean, not in a sort of special way or anything. Uh-huh. I use technology by just showing them videos
mm-hmm.
and
what kind
playing of them audio. So what I'm talking about is, you know, I bring my laptop into school,
mm-hmm.
and on my laptop I've got lots of videos that I've downloaded from YouTube,
mm-hmm.
which I probably shouldn't do, but anyway, I don't know if it's legal.
How could you download from YouTube?
There's lots of ways to do it. Okay. It's easy. I'll tell you a website,
uh-huh.
www.keepvid.something. Keep vid. Yeah, just Google Keep Vid and you'll find it.
It's an
actual website that just is a downloader. You just type the website, the URL in for YouTube.
I know it's illegal, but actually what I do is I search something on YouTube, and then I search on a Chinese website, and the Chinese website actually allowed downloading, and it has a software which you could download through, and then you could transfer the format which can fit into your iPod.
Sounds like KeepVid.
Yeah,
KeepVid. Like KeepVid will the web page itself will download somehow manages mm-hmm. to download YouTube videos. So you just copy the URL of the YouTube video
mm-hmm.
and paste it into the download bar mm-hmm. of KeepVid. Click download. It gives you two options. The high resolution or low resolution,
mm-hmm.
and you just right click on the high resolution one, save as, okay. and then you just downloads into your computer.
Do you have to pay for that?
No, it's free. It's free.
Total free. Mine's total free too.
Brilliant.
Yeah. That's so, what I love, I take.
It's good, isn't it? Technology,
yeah.
It's great. But, okay, so what I do is I bring my laptop into the classroom and I plug it into the TV,
mm-hmm.
the flat screen TV, and I use it to play videos, either on YouTube or downloaded from YouTube. I use it to play DVDs and CDs. I can use it to play podcasts from iTunes. I can use it to show them things on the internet. So I can show them interesting podcasts and things like that. I can show them the BBC website, and I can also show them pictures on the Google image
mm-hmm.
search if there's a word that I can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm trying to explain what a guinea pig is,
Guinea pig, right?
Then I will actually Google image search the word guinea pig
yes.
and instantly they know what it is, because it's difficult to explain what a guinea pig is.
Uh-huh.
Guinea pig is, it's like a pet. It's like a hamster, but it's bigger than a hamster.
I know that one. Yeah. Got it. It's a small one.
Yeah, very.
It's a small, cute, and pinky one.
It's not pink.
No. Because I saw a lot of pictures which I saw the description of the guinea pig in Chinese novel. Right. And there's like always to describe as a pinky one, so that's more cute.
Well, it's cute, but it's not pink. Okay. I don't think I don't think there are any pink animals except flamingos.
Yeah.
I think other than that, pretty much all of them are just non-pink. But anyway, sometimes it comes up because, you know, you say, for example, oh, you can be my guinea pig. Or you're a guinea pig in an experiment,
mm-hmm.
right? That's how it's used in common speech. We don't see many guinea pigs in our daily lives, but we talk about quite a lot, especially when you're talking about doing an experiment on someone.
Mm-hmm.
They are your guinea pig, right? And so often I have to actually explain. When that comes up, they're like, huh, what's a guinea pig? And then it ends up being like 30 minutes of them trying to understand what a guinea pig is, and 30 minutes of them being thinking it's a hamster or thinking it's a kind of rat or something.
Uh-huh.
And the only quick solution is to actually show them a picture of a guinea pig. And then, bingo, they get it and you can move on, right?
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, that's how I use technology. Yeah.
So, what podcasting, second language teaching and learning have you ever heard of? Because you mentioned you use podcasts, so what podcast is in particular have you ever heard of?
Well, I mean, which podcasts have I used?
Except for your arm.
Except for mine. Never. Well, see, this question keeps coming up because, you know, for various reasons, people keep asking me about podcasting. And it's always, how can you use podcasts in the classroom? And for me, podcasts they're nothing special for the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing particularly special about how they can be used in class, other than the fact that it's just an audio resource. Podcasts are just a great way of getting audio. And you then use that in class just in the same way that you'd use audio from any other source.
Mm-hmm.
So you could use it just in the same way that you would use something you've recorded from the radio or something that you've recorded, you know, with another teacher before you go into class, or something that is on a DVD. It's just a listening resource, that's all. And the difference, I guess, is that it's current. It's, you know, it's very up to date often, mm-hmm. and there are loads and loads of them out there. So they're, you know, if you're as teachers, if you're willing to investigate, you can find podcasts on almost any topic.
Yeah.
And the fact that they are very often updated regularly. So you can, if you find a podcast that's interesting, then you can come back to that podcast and listen to another one by the same person, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives a kind of continuity to your lessons. If you're teaching a class over a long period of time,
mm-hmm.
you can kind of every couple of weeks do another podcast from mm-hmm. you know, whoever, like another movie review, for example, from your favorite movie review podcast,
uh-huh.
or another guide to you know, a different country or something. There's so many different things, but
that's interesting.
But really, podcasts are just listening material that you can use in class. Teachers have to adapt it. They can adapt podcasts just like they can adapt any other listening resource by using them to teach vocabulary,
mm-hmm.
using them to teach grammar, using them as a speaking point, using them for all kinds of different things. Just like if, for example, you know, if someone gave you a cassette of like, oh, me and my friend had a conversation about pets,
mm-hmm.
and we taped it, here it is. That is exactly the same.
It's the same as podcast.
As someone,
there's no big difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although some podcasts on the internet are designed for learners of English.
Yeah.
Right, and some of them are designed for teachers of English too. So the ones for learners of English might be appropriate to be used in class because the level of English will be graded in some cases. So that means that you can actually. You know, find podcasts that provide you with audio material that's good for lower levels. Some of them include, you know, a transcript,
yeah,
which is good. And that means that as the teacher, you can just copy that text and put it onto a worksheet and then photocopy it and give it to the students, and they can then read it while they're listening to it, or you can use it to sort of highlight words. It's easily adaptable into a lesson. Sometimes podcasts for learners of English will include descriptions of the language, or maybe like definitions of bits of vocabulary that have been used in the podcast, and you can, as a teacher, just steal that text, put it on a Microsoft Word document, and then adapt it and turn it into a worksheet, which you can then teach in class. So that's good. And podcasts for teachers of English, there aren't very many, but there are a few, will actually provide you with a with an actual lesson plan, which you can download as a PDF and then just bring into class and use. The BBC does a few things like that. They've got resources for students and resources for teachers.
I think the British Council is also, also doing that.
That's right. They work together, I think, actually, the British Council and the BBC, don't they?
Maybe not. I'm not quite sure about that. Yeah. But from the website, in the website of British Council, you could find loads of teaching materials for teachers.
That's right, yeah.
And I think when I type like podcast and learning English into Google, the most frequently Googled ones are like ESL podcast, English as a Single Language. That's
really?
Yeah, it's called ESL podcast. Yeah,
but podcast, ESL podcasts are the most popular podcasts, are they? Wow, all right, that's good.
And the British Council one.
Yeah.
But I, from all the students I have already interviewed, so ESL podcasts, maybe their favorite ones, because it's quite slow, it's quite exaggerated pronunciation slower speed.
Yeah.
And they have the transcripts, but they, once they got into the premier member, they could get the whole package of transcripts word by word, verbatim one.
Right. Do you think I should do that? No. What do you think of that?
Because I didn't come up with this idea. After I talked with Ben, and he told me he doesn't like it. It should be, he thought that the podcast should be more natural. I don't think it should be a verbatim transcript for the students, because they, just as you said, they will form a habit that I have to, dependent on the transcripts, word by word, I have to listen clearly every word that I can understand the whole passage. But it's not the whole truth. You don't have to listen to them. You don't have to know clearly word by word what they are talking about. You just just pick up some key words and guess what the meaning it is.
Yeah.
If someone talking Chinese, there's a kind of a language flow in my brain, and I don't have to pick up every word and to analyze what it means.
Yeah.
I just pick up some keywords and that's it. I got the meaning.
So the thing is, though, that students or learners of English out there, when they search on the internet, they want something convenient. They want something that is going to make it easy to learn English. Now, it's not,
I think,
really
that's
easy.
That's about confidence. They don't have the confidence, they're not confident that I could understand it, so I have to get some support and help from the words from like the white paper and black words, and I'm sure that I got something.
Yeah, that's true. Now I agree with that. I agree with the idea that students or learners shouldn't be dependent on having a transcript there while they listen, because it doesn't really help your listening skills. But it really depends on why they're listening to the podcast. Because some learners... you could say, are they listening to really learn, to really, really improve their English? Or are they listening just because they want to listen to English and understand every word? Are they listening to understand, or are they listening to learn?
Both.
There's a kind of difference. They are doing both. There's a sort of difference, I think, because sometimes... The best way to learn is to open your threshold to what you don't understand. You know, like, you learn fastest when you're in an environment where you don't understand everything and you're struggling to understand it all. You know, anyone who's been to another country and lived in another country and learnt the language knows that you do it by putting yourself in a situation where you don't know what's going on and then trying to work it out. That's how you learn fast, I think. Survival.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a pleasant experience. Unless you love that kind of experience. It's not necessarily a convenient, quick, easy, simple way of learning the language.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So what people want, especially, I can just imagine it, like a student in Japan who's like, I've got to learn English, but they don't necessarily have the right attitude towards it. They just think, how am I going to learn English? I need to understand every single word, therefore I need to read a transcript while I'm listening to it. But I'm not going to try and force people to learn in one way. I think there's lots of different ways to learn, and if that's how they want to do it, if that's how they're comfortable doing it, let them do it, you know. And also, should I talk about the fact that I've got a podcast?
Yeah.
The fact that I've got my own podcast, I'm trying to get as many people listening to it as possible.
Uh-huh.
So I know that in an ideal world, I would provide a transcript of every single word that I say in my podcast. But I also understand, I believe that it's better if the podcast is not scripted, so it's just sort of improvised or spoken like a normal, authentic.
I mean, the spontaneous output of language.
Yeah, like this, like the way I'm speaking now. Because when people, the spontaneous output of language, when people speak, they speak spontaneously. They don't have a script in normal life. People start sentences and then they stop them in the middle and then they start new sentences. They make mistakes when they speak and correct them. They mm-hmm. start sentences and then realize that their sentences...
and correct them.
Yeah, they people don't make sense. You know, often people don't talk sense when they're speaking. Like me, for example, during this interview. You know?
Yeah, it's just last time when I talked to Ben, I just told him, well, this is maybe what called perfection is imperfect.
Sorry?
Perfection is imperfect.
Yeah.
Because it's too perfect. Those podcasts to make, like, verbatim, like, read by someone, especially by someone with beautiful voice, and the proper speed is too perfect to be perfect, actually.
It's too...
To be improper, to be proper for the learners.
That's right. I mean, it's almost impossible for learners to be able to reproduce that kind of perfect level of
mm-hmm.
spoken English that they are going to hear in a podcast that has been scripted. And it's the same with movies, unless the actors are really, really good and they're all natural
mm-hmm.
and they're reading a really authentic script. A lot of movies are so cleverly scripted that it makes they're impossible targets for learners, you know. Learners just need to learn natural speech, not scripted speech. So it makes sense for them to listen to English that's not scripted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But it makes it difficult for me as someone who makes podcasts, because I know that my podcast shouldn't be scripted,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want it to be too difficult for them to understand. I want it to be accessible.
So probably you could first make the podcast and then listen to them and transcribe. Or do that.
Yeah, I could. I'd love to have transcriptions of all of my podcasts, but uh-huh. I'm not going to sit there for 2 hours.
I probably could just give some tips and hints for them, for the students, so they could understand it.
Yeah.
I've heard your, like, 16 ways to say I like it, right? Yeah. And you just written down. You have just written down just the 16 ways and how and explain why to use this one, what it means. Mm. Just go.
That's enough. It. Yeah.
That's enough.
You know. Yeah, I think so. I think that's enough. Yeah. But I'm sure there are some people out there thinking, I wish he wrote every single word down verbatim. But, you know, until I get paid to do it, I'm just not going to do that. I'm doing it, you know, I'm paying for myself. I'm actually paying the website to host my podcast. Yeah. So I'm not making any money. I'm doing all...
Make money from it.
How? Tell me, please.
I can tell you after we should.
Okay, yeah. I really would like to know.
A really good one. Probably, I don't know. And could you, blah, 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 blah. I'll just read down.
Yeah, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything that in the podcast should be improved?
In podcasts in general?
No, the podcasting, teaching English as a single language.
You mean, okay, so how can like ESL podcasts be better?
To be better, yeah.
They need to be recorded better. The sound recording techniques need to be improved.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many out there. I think mine's the best because the sound quality is better than on most of them. Right? Now, obviously, the BBC does good podcasts because they've got good quality microphones and they're very professional. But a lot of the amateur ones, the sound quality is just not good enough, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're using cheap microphones. They're using, rubbish computers. What I mean by that is they're using like...
I probably understand it because I once worked in the TV station in China, so I know the difference between the good ones, good sets, and the bad sets.
Basically, they're using PC computers with inbuilt microphones that are really cheap microphones. So, for example, a Dell computer, when you buy it for £300 or £400, and it comes with a headset with a microphone inbuilt on it. Now, that microphone might be enough, you know, good enough for you to speak on Skype or whatever, but if you're actually going to record a podcast that you expect thousands of people all over the world to listen to, you need to invest in a decent microphone. So a lot of them are very good podcasts and they contain lots of really useful stuff, just the sound quality is not good enough. It's like,
you're listening to the American English Podcast from podcast.com.
You know, it's just not a pleasure to listen to. You need something that's got a good, clear sound, and that makes it a million times more interesting.
Okay, so besides the sound quality, what else?
I think that they should try... People doing ESL podcasts should try to make them authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that they should... If they script them, they've got to try and make that script as natural sounding as possible, to make it close to natural speech, right? What else do they need to do? They need to make them interesting. Just make it fun and interesting, because there's a lot of them are quite boring.
But the tests aren't that interesting.
Tests aren't interesting, no, true. Yeah, but why should it be a painful experience to learn English?
That's true. I agree with you.
I mean, I know that in that's part of the attitude of some people towards learning the language, is that it's a test, and that they want to be tested constantly. It's a kind of test. Like, learning is painful.
I don't know what the situation is here, but in China it's actually the case, because unless you're going abroad, you won't study English as hard as you are.
Yeah.
And for most of the people who are like are going to take a test, are going to take the IELTS or TOEFL or GRE test, they just push themselves very, very hard so that they could get a decent mark.
Yeah.
And use that paper with a mark on it to say, I pass the standards. So
therefore, I speak English.
Yeah. But actually, on their first a few weeks when they arrive on a different land, different continent, they kind of thinking they are deaf. and they can't produce anything. They just they can't understand whatever what others are talking about.
Yeah,
especially the accent, the way people talk. And I just remember Ben told me that no one gonna speak like after what the weather it is like, and then after that, and pop out the question like, "What's your hobby?"
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But actually, teachers always tell us that hobby is probably the thing that people ask when they meet a stranger. They pop out the question like, "What's your hobby? What do you like? Do you like TV? Do you like movies?"
I know someone who actually asked that question in the pub a while ago. I was out with some of my friends, and this guy was there. And he said, one of his questions was, "So what's your hobby?" to one of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone just laughed at him. Mm-hmm. Mainly because we're English teachers and we realised that what's your hobby is kind of a fake question.
Stupid question.
But it's weird. And no, people don't say, "What's your hobby?" In fact, the only time when people do ask, "What's your hobby?"
Mm-hmm.
is in a kind of forced getting to know you situation.
Uh-huh.
Like a kind of, okay, we're in a group, we've got to get to know each other in the next 30 minutes, so... what's your hobby? Then you might say, "What's your hobby?" But in natural, normal life, when you meet someone for the first time, you tend to say, "So what do you do?" Or, "How do you know?" You know, if I meet one of your friends, I'd say, "How do you know Vicky?" You know, or "What do you do? How long have you been in London?" You know, those sorts of things. I certainly wouldn't say, "What's your hobby?" If we were listening to music, I'd say, you know, say...
"What kind of music do you like?"
Yeah, what kind of music are you into?
Do you like R&B or pop music? Do you like The Star or blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, it's like, you know, what do you think? If for example, we hear the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I'll say, "Oh, it's the Red Hot Chili Peppers, isn't it? What do you reckon? What do you think of the Red Hot Chili Peppers?" "Oh, yeah, I saw them last year, actually." You know, blah, blah, blah. That kind of thing. Well, you wouldn't say... I don't think I would say, "What's your favourite kind of music?" I might say, "What kind of music are you into?" But it's one of those questions where you go, "Ugh." And it's not hard. Fun. It's not a nice question to answer. Because you go, "Oh, well, I like..." You know, and then you have to pigeonhole yourself. You know. So, yeah, the podcast should try to be natural. They should try to follow authentic speech. They should they should be well recorded. They need to... They need to actually teach something, I think.
Okay. So what factors do you don't like about using podcasts in your teaching? I mean...
In my classrooms?
Both classrooms or after class, like using podcasts as assignment.
Right.
To let them listen to, ask them to listen to some of the podcast.
Right.
And then come back to classes and start the discussion or whatever.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, okay, there are a few things you can do with podcasts. One, you can use them in class and set them as a listening activity. Another one, you can actually, like you said, set it as a homework task. Listen to the podcast, come back to class, we'll you know, talk about it in class, for example. The from a teacher's point of view, using them in class means that you have to actually build a lesson out of it. So you have to listen to that podcast a number of times at home or in the teacher's room and actually write a lesson based around that podcast. So that's a lot more work for the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what we could do is go to a book, a published book with a CD, and just use the material there because it's not going to be that much better than the material that you produce, unless you produce material that's personalised to the students, personalised to you, that's up to date, that's on maybe a controversial topic that they're not bold enough to publish in a book, you know. So from the teacher's point of view, using podcasts in the classroom is actually quite a lot of work because you've got to build your own lesson out of it. So that's a disadvantage, just from a practical point of view, of making the teacher's life easier. The problem of setting it to them as a homework task, it means really that it's just out of your control a bit. You know, if you say to them, "Okay, listen to this," you can't necessarily guarantee that they'll listen to it. You can't guarantee that they will find it on the internet. because you know a lot of people just don't know how to find. They don't. A lot of people don't know what a podcast is.
Yeah.
So you have to explain what it is first, and they don't even know how to pronounce it. They, you know, they say postcard. Most a lot of people say postcard because not post podcast because it's difficult to say podcast.
I think it's prevailing, isn't it?
What?
I think it's prevailing here, isn't it?
What?
The podcast.
The word podcast. Yes, it is. But what I mean is that some students that I teach, they struggle with the word, and they
probably can't. Because they don't use the iTunes very often.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just they're not familiar with the word. Yeah, and because phonetically, it's easier to say postcard than podcast, and just maybe they've said the word postcard in their lives a lot more than they've said podcast. They don't understand the word podcast.
Pod means.
Podcast. What does it mean?
iPod and broadcast and mix them together.
Yeah, exactly. They don't get that. Okay. Anyway, so it's a tricky thing to say to them as a homework task at the end mm-hmm. of a lesson. Okay, what I'd like you to do is visit this website, find this podcast, listen to it, answer these questions. They're going to be like, podcast, huh? You know, and you have to say, then you have to actually physically take them through it and go, look, on the website, here it is, that's the podcast.
And click this button and you'll get this page.
That's right.
And then click subscribe, and that's free for you, all you guys. And then click and go back to all the podcasts and go back to this album and click get all, they'll get all of the podcasts.
Exactly. And it's just too much for them to expect, you know, especially uh-huh. if they're low levels.
And the podcast, some of the podcasts is not so suitable for the starters because they can't get anything.
Yeah.
They can't get anything from the podcast.
Yeah.
One of the students just told me that, I don't like the podcast because maybe I'm a starter of learning English. So actually, I get nothing from it. Because those I could understand, I could understand. Those I couldn't understand, I couldn't understand either.
Mm.
So there's no progress, actually.
All that starters could do is read a transcript and listen at the same time mm-hmm. and just hope for the best and not get bored, you know. Because they will read it and they'll be like, I don't understand this. They might follow the words and learn how the words sound. But it will be a frustrating experience because they'll just be thinking, I don't understand this. If they were bold enough to keep going, they would learn. They would eventually.
Mm-hmm.
They'd learn by if they had a 20-minute podcast on and they had no idea what it was about, but they had a transcript and they just had that and nothing else. They would learn from it because eventually they would start to piece together, they'd fill in the gaps, they would learn little bits, they'd work it out eventually themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing would be, what are they talking about? That's it, what's the topic of conversation? And they have to just work it out from little words that they know and guessing from the tone of voice and things like that. But yeah, you're right. For starters, podcasts are just too difficult. And
too difficult for them.
Waste of time for mm-hmm. them, really.
We'd like to have the students make their own podcast in English and hand them in as a coursework
or
group work.
Well, I think it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. The only problem is, who's going to listen to it?
Their peers or their classmates.
On the internet?
On the internet.
So you're gonna you put it on the internet.
Well,
and then...
I mean, you could like have a limitation on the who could have access to those materials, so that
yeah.
only the England, I mean only the inners of this website of this network
right.
could have access to this podcast,
okay.
so they could listen to other people's work.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a good thing. It is. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It would be a good thing to publish their speaking on the internet so that people can listen to it. I know there are a few podcasts that have just students speaking,
mm-hmm.
and they get listened to a lot, actually. Some of them more than mine, which is annoying.
Probably the students would love something like their... From their level, I think that will make them more confident because they can speak like this. I could
mm.
I can achieve this level, and they are bold enough to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay.
Because teachers' podcasts are always too perfect for them.
Mm.
I couldn't catch it. I can't achieve your level. So probably they will just think they're lazy. Sometimes they're like, because I couldn't achieve this level, because so I just lay back. A lesson.
So they want something more achievable.
Yeah.
So they would like... So do you think that in my podcast I should interview students in the school more often?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Right, I'm writing this down.
I do think so. Especially for some of the... I don't know, but Chinese people, they're... I don't want to use the word, like, show off, but some of the students who are from the much higher level of English, they would love to, like, a little bit show off their English, so it's make them more confident of speaking. And they would love to have other people listen to them.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'm aware of the advantages of using, of having students record their own podcasts and publish them, because it motivates the students to actually do it, and they realise that they're going to be listened to, so they put that extra bit of effort in.
Yeah,
and really, you know, what's the point of saying something if no one's listening? It really helps your English if you realise that people are listening. Like, it helped. I know that I'm a native speaker of English, but it's helped me to become a much more confident speaker, because I know that every day there's people listening to every word I'm saying. And so as a result, I've become, in my mind at least, a really good speaker of English. I mean, a good, I don't know, public speaker, but I can speak to a room full of people quite well now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think some of my friends who haven't done this job would stand up in front of a group of people and they wouldn't be as comfortable as me. And that's because I've had, for quite a while, people listening to me, and so it's made me more confident, because you rise to the challenge, you know. So I think giving students an audience would make them rise to the challenge too. So I think it's a very good idea. But the technical things, the technical issues, are that's like a barrier, actually.
Yeah.
So I know that technology is meant to bring us all together and make our lives easier,
mm-hmm.
but in order for the technology to make our lives easier, we've got to work really hard and struggle with the technology first. Yeah. So it's almost counterproductive. Once you manage to work out how the technology works, then it makes your life easier.
Mm-hmm.
But before you get to that point, your life is pretty difficult working out how to use the technology. So that's a big, big deal, actually, a big problem.
That's exactly. Have you heard one passage in TOEFL test, which one is called the all-in remote controller?
No.
Which is, I think it's a speaking task, and the passage called all-in-one remote controller.
All-in-one remote controller. Yeah. Okay.
Because it says that the all-in-one remote controller should make life easier, because you get all those stuff in one remote controller. You can control the TV, the conditioner, and whatever, ventilation,
ventilator or the aircon,
the ventilator or whatever. Yeah. But you have to spend a couple of hours just to learn which button is going to control what, which one is. It's to read through, like, the function brochure, and to make sure that you get very clearly which button is going to control what, which one, which function.
Yeah, absolutely. Good example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the same for podcasting. The problem is that it's a lot of the time, it's far too much work for the teachers to do to actually arrange for students to listen to podcasts or record podcasts, because can you imagine the management, the difficulty of, first of all, arranging a lesson where the students sit down. You've already prepared them with all the words, and they're ready. They're able to actually sit and record.
Mm-hmm.
You might have practiced some words, or you've taught them some expressions that they can use in their little news bulletin or whatever it is you're doing. And so they're actually ready to do it before they start recording. But then you have to have the technology there. You need to actually make sure that they know how to use it so that they can record or delete or whatever if they want to. You know, you've got to manage all of this in a fixed time in a room, and you're the only one telling them what to do, and this one doesn't really want to do it, and this one is bored, and you know, these two don't like each other, and this one thinks that she doesn't want to work with him because she thinks his English isn't good enough, and so you've got all these problems, and you've got to try and keep the motivation up, And then eventually you say to them, okay, now you're going to actually record yourselves and we're going to put it on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Half of them are going to go, like that. Maybe one of them is going to go, great, I love this. But the others hate him because he loves the sound of his own voice.
Uh-huh.
And so you've got all these issues going on. And you've got the technical issue of, like, when they've recorded them, who's going to upload them onto mm-hmm. the site? Who's going to be the site administrator? Because it's not going to be me. I'm not doing that. I'm not going
to
just
so
get.
Much work to teach
yeah, I'm not going to get. I'm not getting paid for that. So it's more than my job's worth.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. So in the end, no. You know, it's more trouble than it's worth in many cases.
Well, we'll probably reach the.
Yeah.
So if you use some words to summarize the advantage and disadvantage, in your opinion of podcast, what would you say?
Okay, advantages, podcasts, there are authentic ones, which are really good, interesting sources of audio material, mm-hmm. okay, for learners and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very motivating for students to record their own podcasts. It can also be motivating for students to listen to podcasts that the teacher has selected for them, because it gives them that feeling that they're getting something special,
mm-hmm.
right? There's great potential in the learning possibilities of using podcasts, but there's also a big barrier in terms of the technology. If you're a technologically minded person, if you're able to understand how to use and download and listen to podcasts, and you're patient and you're a little bit adventurous, then you'll probably be able to get a lot out of using podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have very much, I don't know, that's it, I guess. But it's such a multifaceted thing. There are lots of other advantages of them. Just, for example, that you can put a podcast on your iPod and listen to it anywhere you want mm-hmm. at any time. That's a great advantage. But it's also difficult to know which are the good podcasts to listen to. In order to find the right ones, you need to kind of search quite a lot, listen to a few, and so on. Yeah, I wish I could give you like a really genuine, clear summary of what I think, but instead it's just kind of a rambling sort of.
It's totally fine. Okay.
Okay.
Actually, it's good because I have to hear different voices and put them together and just search the most frequently appeared words, which is maybe the common opinion of people.
Right. Okay. How many people have you interviewed?
4 teachers and 3 from here.
Yeah.
Van and I think Sophie and you.
Yeah.
And also one teacher from one teacher from Middlesex University who is teaching the precisional course. And the other one is from Oxford University.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And okay. So I think 10 to 12 students.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Have you got any questions today?
I do. Yeah. I know that I've got to go soon, but let me interview you now.
Okay.
So this is, if you don't mind, I might use this on my podcast.
Okay, cool.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah.
So that's the end of the interview. Now, I did interview Vicky then, and I asked her some questions about learning English. That interview, like I said before, you can find on the previous podcast, and there's a full transcript for it, a full transcript, okay? So if you really need to, or really want to, you can read that and listen to my interview with Vicky. Okay, so that's it. That's it for this one. Quite a long podcast, but you're getting a bit more for your money, which, considering it's free, means that you're getting a lot, really, aren't you? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, that's it. Cheers. Bye, 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 bye. You've been listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit www.teacherluke.podomatic.com. Luke's English Podcast, the smoothest podcast on the internet.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.